Yeah, Chris is very kind with his words, but I do have the honor of getting to share this morning. My name is Dietrich Winter, like you mentioned, and it's funny the things you think of walking up onto stage. Usually you think of the things that are just all the ways you could say something to get yourself in trouble, slip of the tongue, and I was out in the entryway there talking to somebody, because yesterday I had the privilege of officiating my own mother's wedding. She was remarrying in her older years, and it was a blast. And as I'm walking up, I was thinking, how many people can say they've married their mom? That might not be the best way to say that. So that was the news in my week. Now, there was some other news about 2 weeks ago in my life. I don't know if I think it may have made the front page news around here, but I managed to run a 5K. Yeah. There was a whole group of us just trying to work on being healthy, and Chris invited me in. He said, "Hey, you lead the beginners." I really wasn't a runner, but we made a plan. I got the little Couch to 5K app and just took it, one day at a time, a little here, a little there, and it was really amazing doing it as a group. We supported each other, we encouraged each other. There's all different levels of abilities and paces and distances, and just having somebody who could warn you about Cloquet's Hills around Pinehurst Park meant that when you get out on the course, you didn't just throw in the towel. It was pretty awesome, and I got to see some just legitimate results in my life. I can see tangible results in my life, how I'm becoming more healthy, even though I'm not a physical specimen or anything. And to see those mile markers going by during the race was really great. And I wanted to give a shout out, because there's some words have been going through my head over and over through these last 8 weeks of training, and actually for the last 4 years. I wanted to give a shout out to an old friend of mine who isn't here this morning, but I'll point him towards the podcast, old college friend named David Osborne. So about 4 years ago, I had a rough period in my life where Sarah and I, my wife, had taken over a failing business, and we're really running from one fire to the next and putting out fires and fixing problems and cleaning up messes, and I just felt myself working and just running from one thing to the next, and I was exhausted, and I was anxious, and I was frustrated, I was tired. I was not a good husband or a father to be around. It was a rough time in my life. And in the middle of this, my friend Dave, who I hadn't seen for about 10 years, moved back into the Twin Cities area, invited me to come down and visit him. And Dave, he wasn't overweight in college. He was just kind of this cute cherub-looking guy. He was Davey. He had this Montana accent, a little round, cute face. Girls loved him. And he opens the door, and I see Dave. I'm like, "Dave, how did you get so fit? He was just thin." And he's like, "Dave, I just been running like crazy." I'm like, "Oh, I get you. Yeah, me too. Work been crazy?" And he looked at me confused. He's like, "No, D. I put on my shoes, and I step out the door, and I start running." I'm like, "Oh." And I realized there's two kinds of running. And I was running the one kind where it leaves you exhausted and worn out. You're busy and you're working hard, but it leaves you a mess and anxious and hurt, and you're hurting others. And there's the other kind of running that gives you life. In our spiritual life, we can run into the same thing. We can work. We can work hard, and we can run and end up just feeling messed up and exhausted and hurt and hurting others. And there's another kind of running that gives life. And we're here to discuss Galatians and this other kind of running. And I get the privilege of talking about what I think is the most practical chunk of words in the whole Bible. It's really the nitty-gritty. It's the how-to of this life of growing spiritually from point A to point B. But before we get there, it's to get the most, it's good to know what's happened up to this point. So Paul has started this church and then left for a while, and he just left them some pretty basic teachings, that Jesus is enough, You know, walk in the Spirit, love each other. You know, it's kind of love and hippie-like. And then, but then why he's gone, some people who love the law, the Jews, are coming to the Gentiles who didn't have this law, this set of plans and rules and structure, and they said, hey, Paul didn't really leave you much practical instructions, did he? You know, this live by the Spirit, love each other, it's kind of intangible, and I bet you guys would love some more structure. Tell you what, take this law and just plop it right on top of what Paul has already taught you, and you're set. You've got a plan, A, B, C, D. And a bit of a first century Twitter war breaks out. You know, you have some people saying the only good Gentile is a circumcised one. And then some Gentile comments, Abraham was a Gentile. And then one of the lovers of the law comments back, yeah, but he was circumcised. And then a follower of Paul says, so what? And someone chimes in, long live the law. Some Christian writes, long live life. And then someone depressed, you know, life stinks. The law stinks. Gentiles stink. Jews are just a cut above the rest. Obviously written by a circumcised Jew. One of the Gentiles chimes in, grace isn't cheap, but it's free. Someone else writes, nothing is free. Someone wrote a poem about Paul. There was a young man named Saul who changed his first name to Paul. It didn't make him an apostle or anything colossal, just a fellow with an awful lot of gall. Which is way over 42 characters. So he took a picture of it and posted that. Yeah. So, and then it just devolves from there. It goes, free me, free beer, nothing is free. Freedom is a myth, promise is a promise. The best fruit is fruit of the vine, to which someone from the vineyard posted, amen. So. But I can really feel for the Galatians, because as humans, we really long for tangible instructions. And you have the living by the Spirit, freedom in the Spirit, and it's a little intangible. And then you have the law, and it's very tangible. It's step by step. It's a lot of things to not do. And what's so bad about that? As humans, we hunger for instructions. Tell me what to do. Have you ever been somewhere where you really weren't sure what is expected of you? And we're going to church as a kid and not knowing when to stand or sit. It's why we have so many signs throughout the church. I had to chuckle walking in. If you've been here a while, it feels like there's a lot of signs. There's like 6 signs just down one hallway to Vineyard Kids. But if you're new, there's never enough signs. I went to the first day of work as a machinist. I talked my way into a job. They were desperate for machinists, and it showed, because I had zero training as a machinist. I was going to learn it on the job. And I showed up on a shift I wasn't hired for, where they had plenty of machinists. And the supervisor's like, well, we got to train you, but I don't have anything for you to do. Why don't you just stand here? I'll look for something for you. And if you see any way to help, just chip in. So I spent 10 hours, like, you know, all these other machinists looking at me. I'm like, you know, I mean, the anxiety and tension, it was 10 miserable hours. So we like knowing what is expected of us. We also like to know who's part of our group. We want to know if we're part of the group. We want to know who's in and out. Are we in? Am I okay? And there's who's with us, who's against us. And unfortunately, when we give in to this inclination of knowing who's in and out, it requires something visible and tangible and quick. And that has some consequences. And I come from a past where, religious background as a teenager, where people really defined who is in and who is out. They were good people. But it really came down to 4 things. You don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't gamble, and you don't dance. Don't drink, smoke, gamble, dance. My wife and I, we celebrated 25 years since our first date. It was a Valentine's dance. It was the last dance we went to until we were adults, because we got in trouble. And sometimes this desire to put people in a box, who's in and who's out, makes us just do some idiotic things, and sometimes hurtful things. I went to a Twins game in that same atmosphere, and they started playing the Macarena. You know, I don't even know it really. It's like this, something like this. And And someone in authority is like, hey, I better not see those hips move, because that would be dancing. So it's just like, just the head. And it's funny to look back now at it, but there's also people hurt by it. There's people who are honestly seeking to know more about God as a teenager who weren't welcome because they wanted to smoke too, or they were smoking, or they had other vices in their life that weren't healthy, but it kept them from being in because they didn't have the right visible qualities to be on the inside. So the first four chapters of Galatians here, Paul spends all this time showing why we don't need the law on top of what Jesus has done for us. And he's done a great job. I encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast for the last few weeks. Everybody who's been speaking has done an amazing job. But he's kind of put this down and finished the argument. But there's still this, what now? What is the nitty-gritty? How do we walk out this life? And that's what Paul goes into and what we're going to explore in Galatians chapter 5. First, I'm going to pray, and then we'll dive into what God's talking about here. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Would you be just making yourself extra known in your presence? Would you highlight our lives, where we're running and running? Would you bring your freedom and your grace? Amen. So in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13, we're going to just read right all the way to the end. It's three solid paragraphs here. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is filled up in keeping this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So the first thing Paul does here is he really reframes the debate, because those who are lovers of the law are coming in and saying, if you don't have law, everybody's going to go wild. Everybody's just going to sin like crazy. They're going to be dancing, right? And he says, no, actually, it's not between the law and sin. The conflict here is between life in the Spirit and life in the flesh. And we hear flesh, and we might snicker a little, flesh. But what is the flesh? This isn't talking about our physical bodies. If you read the list, there is some of that. But eight of them have nothing to do with physical desires. I mean, some of them, selfish ambition, dissension, envy, jealousy, rage, discord. It's this picture that's pointing to the whole part of us, every part of our being that really wants to go and do its own thing. It's this human hunger, thirst, to be in control, to make all the decisions. And that's what's at the root of all sin, is that we want to go and do our own thing. A lot of the translations will translate this as sin nature, but it kind of loses the visual picture here, because Paul is kind of throwing out a little dig at the people who love the law. It's like, you want something tangible? You know what's tangible? Flesh. And there's a Spirit. You know, it's kind of out there. The flesh is very tangible. And it's got this picture back and forth between the battles between living in the flesh or living in the spirit. Then he's got the list of things that come from acts of the flesh. And is he saying, put this list up on the wall? Here's a brand new law for you. It's kind of concise, it's condensed, it's a new law. No, his instructions are a little more simple. Keep in step with the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Then he has the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And what are they? And this is normally where, pastor or preacher will take the next 8 weeks and talk about each of the fruit in there and dive in, and we'll spend an hour talking about peace or patience, and that's good, that's okay. It's good to like sometimes submerge ourselves into something and just kind of absorb it for a while. But Paul's point isn't to make new goals here. He's intentionally, I think, using the word fruit, because there's a difference between fruit, like an apple, versus a carrot or a radish. I'm a great gardener if all I grow are radishes. You just throw them on the ground. You can harvest them two or three times through the summer. My dad taught me this. Carrots, they're pretty easy. But fruit, I tried to plant a fruit tree a few years ago. It died. and part of my motivation might not have been good, because they told me when we bought this, it's like it's going to take 5 to 7 years before you see fruit. I'm like, what? That's crazy. I mean, it's already this tall, and it's going to take another 5 to 7 years. Fruit takes time. Fruit is something that appears on the tree years down the road. It's really the mile markers that we get to see along the journey that we're doing. It's a sign that, hey, we are on the right path. We're going in the right direction. They're the byproduct of a life guided by the Holy Spirit. And see, the nature of fruit is that all the fruit starts as a seed or maybe a graft off of a tree. Elsewhere, Paul talks about growing up into our salvation. I don't know if you've ever seen a junior high boy whose feet are just huge. And you see him, you're like, oh, he's going to be a tall guy. And he's going to grow into his feet. But there's this period of time where he's a little awkward and his feet are huge. My son has feet almost as large as mine, and he's only 14 years old. He's grown into them this last year and is almost the same height as me. But like that seed for the fruit, that seed has everything in it that is going to be, the genetics and the DNA. In the same way, everything that the Bible says about the followers of Jesus Christ is already true in every one of us. God's DNA and his fingerprint are on us. And it's a matter of growing up into it. But it really isn't about working harder. I planted that apple tree. It died. I got a lot of advice from this sweet old guy at a store. I discovered I did everything wrong. So there is some work right in the beginning, getting the tree up and supported and properly watered in the right place. But when it comes to fruit, I mean, bearing down and grunting, it doesn't get us more fruit. It doesn't get us fruit faster. It's not about working harder. What there is there's two kinds of running. And one of them leaves us exhausted. It's this conflict. There's a conflict between living in the flesh and living in the spirit, and it looks like this. See, we all have an inclination towards righteousness. And righteousness just means accepted. We all want to know, am I okay? Am I accepted? But when we're functioning in the flesh, we use the words like, if only I can succeed, then I will. If only I can get that job, then my spouse will be happy with me. If only I can just fight through this struggle, God will be happy to hear from me. If only I can, if only, then I'll be okay. And what it leads to is, like Rocky in the movie Rocky, he says, if I can go 15 rounds with him, I'll know I'm not a bum. A whole life spent training and still thinking you could be a bum. On the other hand, when we're operating in the spirit, we say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get on board with where God is going. Can I jump on his wave, what he's doing in my life? Because I'm already accepted. Operating in the flesh can be done even with good things. working hard at work, coming up on this stage, I can be thinking, if I just do a good enough job, Chris will be happy with me. If I can just do a good enough job, he'll ask me back. Yeah, they'll stroke my pride. Attaboy, good job. And then the pressure mounts to perform again and to succeed. If I can just work hard enough, if I can just get through this other vice that I'm dealing with, if I can just do a good enough job, then I'll be okay. I'll be accepted. I'll have the kind of friends I want to have. And you have to perform and perform again. And the pressure mounts and the anxiety mounts. Timothy Keller, a pastor I love reading, has this about the battle between the flesh and the spirit. He says, "The best way to check whether or not you're operating in the flesh is how anxious you are. How anxious are you? How afraid are you? It's the anxiety and the fear that comes by saying, if I don't accomplish this, this person rejects me. The anxiety and the fear is really the curse of the false god that is still operating in your life. It's that false god of setting up a law outside of what the Holy Spirit, expectations outside of what the Holy Spirit is calling us to do right now in the moment. And the thing that stinks about it is that false gods both bless and curse us. You can give you the attaboys, good job. You go for it, good job, way to go. But then as soon as we fail, we're struggling and we're trying to get through something so we feel we can make God happy and we'll be okay, and we fail, that false god is the first one to shout down, you failure. Why did you even try? So this law that we can set up, whatever this extra expectation is, oftentimes serves to cause the very thing is meant to avoid. We end up building up our pride because we've got our ego is being stroked. Or we fail, and we all fail. And I give up. Why even try? None of us bat 1,000. At some point we fail. These are the two kinds of running. We can operate in the flesh, performing so that I'm accepted, versus operating in the flesh, where the Spirit gives us our goal, gives us our focus, gives us our energy. And there's some work. We do strive towards that goal. But we do it because I'm already accepted. And it doesn't leave us haggard and worn out. So a couple other things about fruit. After the initial planting, the growth is mostly out of our hands. There's some tending to it. There's some weeding, maybe some watering and stuff. But that after that first period, maybe the first summer, there's not a lot of work when it comes to fruit. They just grow. They happen. And this is the Holy Spirit gives us what strength we need to accomplish the goals he gives us. There's also some great hope in this. Because see, flesh, it needs to be nourished too. And when we don't feed it, when we're operating in the Spirit, it can weaken, it can atrophy. And as we are functioning in the Spirit, these things become part of us, they become habits, and they become part of who we are. And the conflict doesn't entirely go away, but it maybe moves to another area. We build strengths, and then we see the fruit down the road. Also with fruit, it's a matter of patience. Paul talks a lot about running races when it comes to the life of following Jesus. When it comes to fruit of the Spirit, you have acts of the flesh, boom, they happen. And then you have fruit of the Spirit. And he talks about walking, probably intentionally, because walking is slow. I always feel for the people who walk in the race because they couldn't run, you didn't train hard enough. And I shouldn't be thinking that way. It takes a lot of courage to get out and walk a 5K race. It takes some patience. It's unspectacular. It requires perseverance. And when reading Galatians 5:16, literally, it can read, "So I say, keep walking by the Spirit." It is not something that happens once and we move on, but it's a constant thing that's throughout our life. So how do we do this? Well, I'm going to go over what I call the fruit cycle. And this is a cycle. It's a daily thing, weekly thing, annual thing that just keeps going over and over. And you jump in at different points. Sometimes the order changes. And sometimes it's a long thing. Sometimes it's a short. But the first thing we do is we immerse ourselves in the Holy Spirit. And the picture here is to be submerged. Psalms 10:4 talks about, "In their pride, the wicked person does not seek him. In all their thoughts, there is no room for God. It's possible for us to be so wrapped up in our lives that there's no space for us to have for the things of the Holy Spirit. So we're missing mile markers. We're missing checkpoints. We're missing things that we should be noticing. And we're so lucky. The Galatians didn't have a New Testament or a Bible. They had a letter. And like, that was it. We have so much that we can ingest, not as a new big set of lists of rules that just get longer and longer, but so that we can ingest it and get to know the heart and nature of Father God and the Holy Spirit. And that starts us noticing, oh, I think the Holy Spirit's calling me to work on that. And we see these checkpoints. Second thing, you invite the Holy Spirit to lead us. And Jesus is our example. He only did what he saw the Father doing. So we invite the Holy Spirit, and we listen. It's as practical as that. This is like the goal-setting point. All right, I'm going to run a 5K. It's, Holy Spirit, would you come and listen? And we see, maybe he gives us a picture. Maybe we feel something audible is being said to us, or a word, or just a sense of what he is saying. And it's as practical as that. And it's a difference in heart. What does the Spirit want me to do? Versus with the law, it's what can't I do? And it means those, I've been in small groups where people are like, I want to grow, I need to move on to the next thing, I need to know what to do. And that means you're on the right path. But it's asking, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? The law isn't the answer. In fact, if your only question is, where can't I run? It is possible to run the race course and not break any of the rules, but never finish it. You just sit there at the starting point. Because the law, the rules, never moved anyone forward. You can just stay there and never finish. Sometimes it's the safest option when you're living, operating in the flesh, just to stay put. And the great thing is, once we change this inward focus, it allows us to change our outward focus too. Remember the in and out part of it? See, not everyone is in the same place in their training for a race. I'm way different from someone like Chris or Andy, a good friend Andy. I'm just blanking his last name because I have trouble with names. Anyways, but not everybody's in the same place. And it wasn't long before I started running that people were like, oh, what about a 10K? How about a half marathon? A marathon? I still haven't done a 5K. Ultra marathons. Andy does ultra marathons, and it's just crazy. And oh, Brian, my good friend Brian does too. And the night before the race, I came across a headline I thought was so funny. It said, running, it's not just healthy, it's a cult. Yeah. Because everybody wants you to get up to where they're doing, and you're just pressured to move up. Great thing about our group is that we were okay with people being at different points, and that was really refreshing. And we were just encouraging each other. But there are all different types of runners at different stages. Just like there's fruit trees, depending on when they're planted, are going to produce fruit at different times. Different types of fruit are going to have different seasons. And we can put off this thing of needing to identify who is in and outside our group by visible things. Instead, we're just focused on asking the Spirit, what are you doing in me? Lastly, just overall this whole thing, is remember we're doing all this in the middle of the Father's love, his grace, his mercy. As a parent, I get very frustrated sometimes with my kids. It can be so bewildering. I just don't know what to do. But I've learned I have to care more about my kids' hearts than their obedience. And same way, God speaks life into us. And he's more concerned with our heart than our obedience. Matthew 9, chapter 9, Jesus quotes Hosea, says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. God knows he could have our complete obedience. I could just demand complete obedience from my kids and completely lose their hearts. He's far more concerned about turning our compass towards him, and we're running in the right direction, than by looking at our record of our performance and how we've done. You guys stand up with me. I'm going to take a moment here to pray for us as a group. I'll invite down the ministry team too while we're at it. And what I want to do is, just very practically, invite the Holy Spirit to come and spend a few moments, nothing too long, just listening. And you can pray along with me. You can pray to yourself or just think it. But spend some time listening also. I encourage you to try this. And for some of you, I feel like there's some of you who, that is a great first step. And you need to just stay there for a while and immerse yourself in what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Give plenty of time to it. And maybe it's staying to the very last song is sung. Just immerse yourself in the Holy Spirit, the words of the songs. Take it all in, listen and feel and be receptive to what he's doing. But then there's others, you're having a hard time with that first step. It's this idea of interacting, really living with the Holy Spirit, that he speaks to us and we can ask him to communicate to us. It's something totally new. And that's why we have these great people down the front here. We believe everybody gets to play, that everybody can learn how to pray for each other. And if you want to, I mean, talk to the folks up here how you get involved. But they're here really to partner. They're not really here to solve anyone's problems. They just say, yeah, Holy Spirit, would you come? And spend time listening. And they listen for what they think God is telling them to pray or say. And there's a bit of mystery to it. Sometimes it's a little intangible. They might ask you, I think God is saying this. Does that ring true with what God's saying to you? And we are humble about it. But they will partner with you. And I encourage you, take that first step. I'll never forget the first time I went up front and had someone partner with me with the Holy Spirit and pray. And it was life-giving. And some of you, I mean, the next big step for you is getting into a community that supports you. It's huge. Grab a small group card out back. Invite someone over for dinner. Share your life. Share what's going on. And just get that kind of people around you who support you and love you. But as I was doing this message, I really felt there's a number of people who right now, your heart is racing a little bit. You're like, I can be free. I really can be free. You're exhausted. You're just tight and tense with all of the performing and the working. And you're like, I don't have to be that anymore. And God is saying, you can be healed of that. You can turn it around. If that's you, I encourage you, come up. Have someone pray with you. Say, just hand this over. You can be free. You can just focus on what the Spirit is doing. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, would you come? We invite you right now. We thank you for this morning. We ask you to continue to work. Would you start painting a picture for those who need to experience life and freedom? Show them just the beauty of this life that you're calling us to. Start painting a picture of you as a good and beautiful God who is for our hearts. Would you start breaking and down chains, loosening up muscles that are tight spiritually and bringing freedom, relaxation, and point our compasses to where you're going. Show us where your wave is so we can just get on and surf with it. Thank you for what you're going to do, Jesus. Amen.